Good evening and welcome. You're watching We the People. I'm Rishika Barua. Eight people were arrested in Delhi for sale and manufacture of fake life-saving cancer medicines. Two of them worked in the cancer hospital. It's a scam that runs into crores of rupees. Earlier this month, fake antibiotic racket was unearthed in Hyderabad. Essential medicines like diabetes medicines, blood pressure medicines and even painkillers worth crores of rupees once again were discovered. They were all fake. This is a racket unearthed in Ghaziabad. Chalk and starch were found in antibiotics that were found at a raid in Uttarakhand. So while there's been a crackdown on fake medicines across four states in just the last month, the fake medicine story is not nearly a new one. According to the World Health Organization, 10% medicines in low and middle income group countries are falsified or substandard. The WHO also further states that half of the medicines that you and I are buying online could potentially be fake. And further, an ASSOCHAM study says that at least 25% medicines in the Indian drug market are substandard. Now, while all of this is worrying, there's an important distinction to make here. Fake, substandard and counterfeit all mean different things when it comes to medicines, and on the show, we'll break that down for you. So India, which is touted as the pharmacy of the world, is staring down a fake medicine epidemic. And the regulation in India has failed the test of scrutiny. There are many pitfalls. There is no central drug regulator in a country like India. Each state has its own regulator and both clearly work in silos. There's no centralized process for manufacturing licenses to be issued. And further, what's really worrying here is that there is no consolidated database for blacklisted companies. Further, the legislation is weak. In 2008, the punishment was increased to 10 years. But under the new Jan Vishwas Bill, which was passed by a voice vote just last year, in the name of ease of doing business, there is now only a fine and no jail term associated with selling certain substandard drugs. The government, however, has issued that they are not going to be decriminalizing the serious offenses, but only the minor offenses will not invite a jail term. There's been much debate since about how anything to do with fake or substandard or counterfeit medicines could be a minor offense. Well, needless to say, the medicines may be fake, but the worry here is very real. Today on We the People, we will decode the fake medicine epidemic and how worried should we all really be. Joining us on the broadcast, we have Dr. Neelam Clare from the Sri Gangaram Hospital. We also have Dr. Viranchi Shah, the National President of the Indian Drug Manufacturers Association. We'll be joined by Dr. Anand Phadke, member of the All India Drug Action Network. In just a moment from now, we'll also be joined by Dr. Y.K. Gupta, who's the Vice Chairman of the National Standing Committee on Medicine. But I want to begin today's show with a very special audience that we have. We have with us in the audience today members of the cancer survivors. We have eight cancer survivors in the audience members with us today. They are from the Indian Cancer Society in Delhi. Heartfelt thanks to all of you for being with us. We also have journalism students who have lots of questions. But like I said, I want to begin the show today by asking my audience members on how this entire racket, so whether it's fake cancer, life-saving medicines that we're talking about, or even the ordinary painkiller or antibiotic that is being prescribed, there is a huge fake medicine racket that has been unearthed. It's an old story, but has gained fresh momentum in just this month. Your reaction, ma'am, your name and your reaction. As a cancer survivor, how did you process this news?
From Indian Cancer Society, and most of us, I suppose one is not a cancer survivor, otherwise we all are cancer survivors. We go to different hospitals to give emotional support to the people. And we know how they afford the money for the medicines, how they afford to stay. They keep begging for the food and sitting on the roads for their loved ones.
Yes.
But very sad and very, very sad. They are being cheated like this. They are saving, they are asking for a single penny to buy that.
Yes.
And this sad
because episode, these are fake medicines, especially the cancer drugs, which are to the tune of, you know, the racket itself is to the tune of crores of rupees. And these are very expensive injections, especially what we're talking about.
And they are selling it.
Yes.
The duplicate things with the fungus and everything.
Absolutely. Ma'am, you had a personal experience you wanted to share.
Yes, I'm Kulbir Kaur from Indian Cancer Society. मैं सर्वाइवर हूँ और मेरे 2005 में मेरे को कैंसर हुआ था. तो उस वक्त भी ये मेरे ख्याल से चलता था ये डुप्लीकेशन, या क्योंकि मुझे एक नॉन डॉक्टर थे, उन्होंने कहा था कि आप जो मेडिसिन लेंगे वो कंपनी से सीधा डायरेक्ट लेके और आप वहां पर अपना मार्कर से नाम लिखिए और वहां हॉस्पिटल में जाके जो फ्रिज में रखेंगे तो दूसरे दिन देखिए वही आपको इंजेक्शन लग रहा है या नहीं.
Right.
क्योंकि इसका मतलब कि उस वक्त भी ये सब कुछ चलता था कि एक डॉक्टर ने मुझे ये बात बोली थी.
सो दैट मींस द डॉक्टर्स हैव आल्सो अलर्टेड पेशेंट्स इन द पास्ट टू स्टे विजिलेंट. वी विल कम बैक एंड होपफुली हियर फ्रॉम मेनी ऑफ यू, बट लेट मी टेक दिस टू द पैनल. योर फर्स्ट रिएक्शन, डॉक्टर शाह, एज समबडी हु इज एट द हेल्म ऑफ अफेयर्स व्हेन इट कम्स टू द ड्रग मैन्युफैक्चरिंग एसोसिएशन, हाउ डू यू लुक एट व्हाट हैज जस्ट बीन सेड? द फेक मेडिसिन रैकेट इज नॉट न्यू, वी नो ऑफ इट. But the implication, you just heard what it means for people who have faced it and battled it.
So thank you, Rishika, for having IDMA here on this very important platform. Let me first set a perspective that the fake medicines is as much a problem for the industry as it is for a patient. Because you understand that when a medicine is faked, it means that a manufacturer who has created a brand, who has spent in developing the quality of this drug, that drug is replaced by a drug manufactured by somebody that does not contain the ingredient or is absolutely fake. So it definitely is a loss of business for us. More importantly, the patient loses the trust in the company, the doctor loses the trust in the company, and sometimes it so happens that because it of such samples that have been taken by the regulators, the main manufacturer is prosecuted. So for the IDMA and for the industry, this is as much serious a problem as it is
yes.
for the patient.
Yes.
But let me also put another perspective here, madam, that I have seen, and most of these drugs, they enter the supply chain in unsuspecting patients and doctors where they go for, buying drugs from agents or points which are not licensed just to get some more discount. That is also one of the observations I have. But as far as the drug industry and the IDMA is concerned, it is a very serious
yes.
issue also for us.
You know, the reason I wanted to begin the show, Dr. Shah, with you is because, like I said, you've heard from the patients. We've also heard now from a pharma voice, because it harms the industry as a whole, doesn't it? India, it's a huge market. For medicines in India. India is touted to be the pharmacy of the world. So it takes the beating is, on the image of the Indian pharmaceutical industry as well, which has taken a beating. But Dr. Claire, as a doctor, as someone who understands, the finer nuances of this, it's very interesting what one of the cancer survivors actually said while she was battling cancer. She said that doctors actually warned against the potential of a injection going into the freezer and tomorrow the same injection not being given to you, or the possibility of a fake medicine being given. How serious is the problem as a doctor, as a child specialist? Are you issuing similar advisories?
Thanks, Rishika, for having me on your show and for asking a question which is very pertinent to the medical fraternity. You know, medicines are used for acute illness, for chronic illness, for life-threatening diseases. And when you are using a medicine which is fake or counterfeit, and it's a life-threatening disease, then, it could end up in mortality, in death.
Yes.
In fact, there are statistics that, every year, something like 170,000 children, they die of pneumonia because of fake antibiotics. And not only that, they die because the drug is either fake or it is, substandard.
Mm.
But also that it leads to multi-drug resistant bugs. Because
yes.
if antibiotics are not functioning or they are substandard or the dose is not appropriate, then the bugs become multi-drug resistant. And in diseases like cancer, somebody could lose his or her life.
Yes.
And, that, sort of in a patient's mind, they lose trust in the healthcare. They lose trust in the treatment. So for a doctor, it is very, very painful. I remember that, you know, about 20, 30 years.
You know, yes. The human angle of it aside, which we've obviously covered that with our members in the audience as well, and one understands it because everybody has dealt with this at some level, you know, whether it's personal or whether in the peer group. How serious is the problem in your assessment? We are not trying to be alarmists here. We are just trying to address the issue. I mean, if there have been four big crackdowns in 1 month alone, and this is not a new story, like I keep saying, how serious is the problem? How worried should we be?
Yeah, there is some data which says that, you know, in case of low and middle income countries, the fake medicines are used in something like 10 to 40% of the cases, which is a very high.
Yes.
And even in countries like America and Canada, it is like to the tune of 1%.
Yes.
And that is that, you know, the laws are very stringent there, and the pharmacies have to also fulfill very strict prescription laws. But in spite of that, you know, it is to the tune of 1 to 2% even in the developed countries.
Right.
So it's not such a small problem. It is a huge problem.
Yes.
And probably at different levels we have to tackle it.
Yes. Dr. YK Gupta is also with us. He's spearheaded. He's been at AIIMS over the course of his tenure. He's also the Vice Chairman of the National Standing Committee on Medicine. I want to understand from you, as far as the regulation goes, I think, you know, we've had several shows, we've done this discussion several times on NDTV as well, where we've highlighted how the state and the centre are acting in silos, blacklisted companies, you know, there's no consolidated database. What do you think needs to be done in order to be able to put a lid on what appears to be a problem that is spiraling?
Thank you very much. I think this problem is such a critical problem, such an urgent problem, and always it continuously requires some tough actions. And I will echo the sentiments which have been expressed by media, by you, and by in this forum also. A drug which is a counterfeit, NFQ means non-standard quality, or which is fake, is just, I consider, is a murder, is equivalent to that. A cancer patient who sells his property for in the hope of getting better or increasing survival, and then if he gets a right drug, it is possible, but if he gets a wrong drug, ineffective or toxic, it is a disaster. And so is the case when a diabetic patient, in the hope of that diabetes is being controlled, is still not being controlled, suffers from diabetic complication and may die. Antihypertensive, anti-tubercular drug, if they are not effective, then not only it is not treatment failure, but it also increases the resistance. Antibiotics, if antibiotic of substandard, not only that it will not treat the specific disease, but it will increase the multi-drug resistance or antibiotic resistance, pandemic.
I think both you and Dr. Claire have very clearly explained how serious it is, that it's not just the components of the fake medicine that are harmful, but of course the fact that you're not getting the medicine you need in order to be able to treat what your problem is, whether it's substandard, whether it's counterfeit, or whether it's fake, can potentially have fatal implications. But how are these three things different? Dr. Anand Phadke is with us. Lastly, I want to ask you, Dr. Phadke, fake, counterfeit, and substandard don't mean the same thing, do they? Can you explain for the benefit of our viewers what is the difference?
Of course not. And I would of course agree with the pharmacologist that the effect of substandard medicine can be death.
Yes.
So effect can be different, other same, but they are entirely different categories. Like for example, the fake medicine case that we are discussing is nothing but plain and simple murder. Meditated murder,
right.
Criminal murder. The very intention is very clear to do inflict a murderous crime.
Yes.
Counterfeit medicine is defined internationally based on the Patent Act in that country. So, for example, what is counterfeit in the United States is not counterfeit in terms of Indian law, Indian patent law. So, depends upon what kind of law you are referring to. And therefore, unfortunately, multinational corporations and some of the regulatory agencies are misusing this concept of counterfeit medicine wrong context. And thirdly, substandard medicine, which is the larger reality, unfortunate reality in India, where if you see the National Drug Survey last time, the about 3.4% of the medicines in India, it was found, it's an all India survey, thousands of samples were collected, lakhs of tests were conducted, and that they found that 3.4% of the medicines in Indian market, 3.4, are NSQ, not standard quality. These are definitions in the Indian law.
Yes.
That is, it should come down to zero, absolutely. Yes. But I think we have to make a difference between murderous act of fake medicine. The whole issue of counterfeit medicine depends upon which patent law that you are referring to.
Yes.
Substandard, or even the substandard word doesn't come in Indian law. It is NSQ,
yes,
not standard quality. Yes. I think there's a difference between the three.
Okay. No, it's very important, Dr. Phadke, that you've explained that difference. But because you've explained that difference and you understand the legislation, I also want to ask you, there are it's miles to go as far as the regulation of fake medicines is concerned in India, isn't there? I mean, for instance, I'll just ask you the question that I asked Dr. Gupta as well, on the fact that the state and center, for instance, act in silos when it comes to drug regulation in our country. Doesn't that need to change? Don't we need to have sweeping reform as far as drug regulation in India is concerned in order to actually be able to tackle the problem?
Absolutely correctly. But we are a federal structure. And I don't know whether we require identical laws, but the laws at the center and at the state should be in unison. In a federal country where if the center doesn't decide everything, there has to be some kind of a congruity between center and state, and the way the center and state are behaving in India is absolutely wrong. But that doesn't mean that everything needs to be centralized. It's a huge country, and I think we need we have a federal structure.
But having a central database, for instance, of blacklisted companies, I mean, isn't this something which is absolutely necessary?
Absolutely.
So all states can at least refer to the same blacklist.
Absolutely, no doubt about it.
Yes. I want to, in fact, get Dr. Shah back into the conversation. Dr. Shah, how do you look at the regulation? As somebody who represents and works in pharma, and you are the pharma voice on the show, how do you look at the regulation and what do you think that needs to be changed? Because, you know, I really respect what you said at the beginning of the show, that this is bad for Indian pharma. So this is bad news across the board, whether it is for manufacturers, whether it is for government, or whether it is for the aam aadmi, it is bad news across the board.
Yes, so Ruchika, let me first compliment the government and the regulators for the recent actions that we have seen. Whatever news that have come out of unearthing of certain elements who have been involved in this kind of activities,
yes,
it is definitely a joint action of the state and center regulators, and I sincerely appreciate for them. Even very recently, Dr. Mansukh Mandaviya, the Honorable Health Minister, went on record and he personally met certain inspectors who cracked such records and appreciated them. So a lot of positive messages have been going from the government on this issue. Very recently, I think just about 15 days back, there was an interaction between the Indian industry and the Drug Controller General of India,
yes,
on the steps that have to be taken in order to integrate the entire nation for such records. So
yes,
a lot of steps have already been taken, and I sincerely appreciate the regulator. There are two, three things I would suggest which would help us everyone. Number one, we have seen that these kind of drugs are not manufactured by licensed manufacturers. They are manufactured by some pocket somewhere in very remote areas, and somehow they enter the main supply chain. So whether it is the patient, whether it is the retailer or the wholesaler, we all in the entire supply chain, including the patient, should make sure that they procure the drugs, the medicines from the right sources. Please do not go for extra 1, 2, 5, 10% discount. You are not sure what you are getting. I think,
yes,
that is one important message. Another message is currently the law that we have, and we just spoke about the substandard, the counterfeit and spurious.
Yes.
We have requested the government. Now, currently the law is such that everything is criminalized, and we have requested the government that while we have to focus on the major issues, we can decriminalize the minor offenses, but
yes,
we make sure.
And I want to just say, Dr. Shah, here, that there are many who will disagree on what is minor about counterfeit or fake or substandard medicines? Because like the doctors have very, like the doctors have explained, you know, all of these could potentially have fatal consequences. So while that remains in the realm of debate, I want to just shift our gears because I think we've spoken about the pitfalls in the legislation, what needs to be done. But I also want, for the benefit of our viewers, to understand here, what can you and I meanwhile do to navigate this story? Dr. Claire, to you first, is there any do's and don'ts as far as viewers are concerned? Can the layperson tell if a particular drug is fake? How can we tell? Are there any telltale signs? What would you tell to the average consumer?
Yeah, I think the counterfeit medicines or the substandard medicines, as very rightly said by my previous speaker, that they'll be probably manufactured in a very remote place, in a very substandard way, and probably they'll be like sort of be sold through the tout or through, you know, somebody who's not well regulated.
Yes.
Because it's easier. So I think for a little price gain, we should not go for substandard pharmacies or substandard companies. And also, you know, the fake medicines would have something, you know, on their label or where, you know, on their packaging, something, you know, which will be mismatched.
Right.
Apart from that, you know, now I think most of the good pharmaceutical companies are having barcode.
Yes, that's very important. Yes.
That's something which can tell you, especially, you know, medicines which are expensive. Medicines like, you know, which are like anti-cancer medicines.
Yes.
Very expensive antibiotics, which are like more than 100 rupees.
Yes.
If there is a barcode, you can at least check on the barcode that, you know, who's the manufacturer, when was it manufactured. And because, you know, the easy access are people who are not able to afford very expensive medicines like anti-cancer yes. medicines, or maybe, you know, some of the antifungals, they are very expensive. So they would be looking the touts, you know, who for a little bit of profit would sell them at a lower price.
Yes.
And
so I think a couple of very important things that you've said. One is that, you know, if there is a certain price that is set of a medicine to save money, don't buy it because you're getting it cheaper somewhere else. Don't buy open medicines. You know, stick to a reputed chemist. Study the label carefully. If it's a regular medicine that you've been taking, you must study. Whether it's, you know, for people taking BP and diabetes medicines, these are people who've been taking these for an elongated period of time. So it's important to be self-aware and also raise public awareness about this, because I think that'll go a long way. But Dr. YK Gupta, this is not an expensive medicine problem, is it? This is an all medicine problem, because if you just look at, I'm not even going into the historical data, if you just look at the kind of crackdown that has happened in the last month, we've seen painkillers, we've seen BP medicines, we've seen diabetes medicines, we've seen antibiotics, and we've seen very expensive anti-cancer injections.
Dave, if you ask me, the basic fundamental cause of making fake medicine or substandard medicine is substandard medicine are there because of they are not following the strictly GMP process, for which the government of India has raised the bar. Now, within 6 months, everybody has to do that. Number two, the fake medicine means there is no medicine is a major, major crime. And you said that whether these two crimes should be equalized, that is a different issue. But
yes.
There are three reasons why. Is the high cost, and they earn a lot of money by making fake medicine. Number
yes.
two, it's a fast-running drug, which is so commonly used, like anti-diabetes or other drugs. And if they make fake medicine, there is a lot of financial gain, because even that. So it is not only the high cost, but it is high volume also. Now, when you ask me what could be the solution, solution cannot be only government, central government. It has to be a networking approach. The central government and the state government, we have enough regulation. But the enforcement of regulation requires much larger force.
Right.
And we have to have a fast trial court also, so that at least when there is somebody is caught,
yes.
he doesn't drag for 6 months, maybe for 6 years. There should be fast court where they should be punished immediately.
Yes.
Third is role of the public, awareness public.
Yes.
We have to educate And I believe large number of this fake medicine can be reduced. I'm not saying finished. If we get in habit of getting a receipt.
Yes.
Because when you put a receipt, then there is a expiry date, batch number, there is a trackability and traceability.
Yes.
Which will not reduce it. That is the first thing. And there are other things like maybe you can have the barcode and maybe yes. other specific codes, and these are the different
terms of a roadmap for solutions, Dr. Gupta, I hope that the powers that be are listening to what you have to say, because you've really spelled it out. I'm out of time, but I want to once again thank the cancer survivors for being here in the studio. Your opinions have been invaluable. You've heard from pharma, you've heard from activists, and you've heard from doctors. We sincerely hope that this story, which concerns all of us, we barely managed to scratch the surface, but you've got an understanding of what this fake racket is and what potentially people like you and me, lay persons, can do to just better educate and protect ourselves from falling prey to it. That's all the time we have on We the People tonight. Thanks for watching.